How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 6, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared
and Emily
Akers.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
This is episode 6, so cruising right along. It is actually Friday night here in the suburb of Kansas City.
The very mild winter of the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's been amazing this year.
It's been great.
It's been spring. Actually,
yes.
All winter.
Been, yes.
Love it.
I cannot stand winter. So
I think we brought the tropics home with us, honey.
You think?
Yep.
Well, I can definitely deal with that. So what's our topic today? Our topic today is happiness really a choice? So,
And we don't agree, so this should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, what did you say when I asked you about?
I say it is.
You say
totally
it is?
Totally a choice, yeah.
Well, my question was then, well, I don't think it's quite that simple. I mean,
no,
it really
isn't. You're right.
I know that
I can see cases where, you know, you're going to be unhappy. It's you know, when you're grieving, you need to grieve.
So then the other part of that then, would unhappiness be a choice?
Yeah. I think you do have to choose to be unhappy, to let it pass, you know, to give it all your energy, give it a time limit.
Well, the reason why I was thinking that it's not that easy was because I don't know. It used to make me angry and people say, well, you know, it's happiness is a choice. Just choose to be happy. And I had so much crap running around in my head and so much, I don't know, fear and regret and guilt and a lot of these things running around in my head that I couldn't just wish to be happy. It just didn't.
So how did that work out for you?
It didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go through, you know, a process where I had reached a bottom and the way life was going just wasn't working for me anymore. And so I had to try something completely different. And
that's, what was that?
That was surrendering and basically giving up on every expectation that I had of life, what it was supposed to be, who I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to do in life, what my purpose was. You know, from everything, from what I was supposed to do for a living to who I was supposed to be with. And I had to let go of every, you know, idea of what I thought life was supposed to be about, because it was just, I don't know, it was just too overwhelming. And I think I had had this person that I wanted to be, and I didn't really think I was ever going to reach that. Or worse yet for me was the idea of, well, what if I do reach this ideal person that I want to be and then I'm still not happy? Then I'm really screwed. You know, it's like having that hope of becoming a...
Kind of ties in with the expectation.
Well, yeah, it was kind of like having that hope.
We discussed
it's
last
like
week.
Sometimes the hope of something is more secure than trying for and failing. Like having this secret dream of becoming a movie star or something, but yet I never really pursue
it. About it. Mm-hmm.
You know, so then if I do pursue it and I don't make it, then what am I left with?
Well, in my opinion, another goal, but
yeah.
I know where you were headed maybe, but
well, so I had to start kind of over and that's when I really started seeking, you know, all kinds of different resources, from spiritual advisors to life coaches to, you know, therapists to books to seminars, you name it. If I thought they had something to offer, you know, different religious things and spirituality, and, you know, just to try to find what was missing. And what I discovered was I was missing a love and a emotional connectedness with myself.
Yeah, it really all boils down to how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
And if you do have a good feeling about yourself, then you're going to realize that there are things you're going to try in life and you're going to not always succeed at those things, but that's the beauty of you know, there's it's not just one thing. You have opportunities to try other things. So,
yeah,
better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Yeah,
I would change that to better to try and fail than never to have tried at all.
Well, I used to always say that you know, the people that said that were the people that had loved or had been loved, and
yeah.
And I certainly didn't think that I had, so...
Well, we've all tried.
I couldn't relate.
We've all tried.
Yeah. So, because one of the things that, you know, about, you know, is happiness a choice? So, you know, once I got through kind of all of that stuff and worked through that, and, you know, I was really working hard at it for probably 9 months, you know, to a year, at least the initial part, and then it was more kind of like a day-to-day thing. You know, I could wake up and say, you know, today's going to be a good day. I would do my morning meditation and all those kind of things and decide that today's going to be a good day. And one of the things that I learned early on is that I can start my day over at any time.
Oh, that's a neat thing to think about.
You know, I'd get up and today's going to be a good day, and then maybe I'd be late to work or something would happen, and I'd get all frustrated in the past.
That's when you take the... deep breath,
yeah,
or two or three, and kind of
recenter,
focus,
yeah, and say, you know what, I'm starting over right now. This is going to be a good day,
yeah,
you know. And but there's times,
so
though,
it is a choice.
Well,
you always have the choice to take a deep breath.
Yeah, but and I have done here, you know, past experiences, because our past experiences play a lot in our reality of today sometimes, you know, or our expectations, if you will. So. Mm.
Dangerous.
Yeah, so do I, you know, but I'm going to make a decision or a choice today to be happy. But unless I'm clear of all of that past crap,
good point.
I'm not going to really believe it.
Yeah. Something to work on today.
Yeah.
It's always something.
That's, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I remember
keeps
when...
keeps this hopping.
Yeah, I first moved in with you. In the house, and there was stuff that needed to be done always, and
yeah, you remember the attic fan?
Yeah, it didn't work for years.
It didn't work for about a year before you moved in, and I was thinking, oh, I gotta put in a new one. Oh my gosh, I was getting all this advice, and so the first job I gave Jared when he moved in was he got a ladder and he positioned it under the attic fan, and he had the proper tools that he might need.
I was ready. You know, the duct tape and WD-40.
Yeah, because honestly, I had turned this thing on numerous times, every day for a month, you know, thinking, okay, this is going to be the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. So he gets up there. You want to tell it or you want me to?
Well, you might want to, because I'm not sure I remember.
You got up on a ladder. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm really checking this guy out now, see if he's worth his salt. He's got the tools. And he goes, well, let's just try it one more time. And I go, fine, go ahead, because it's not going to work. So he's standing up there, and he flips the switch, and by God, if the thing didn't turn on.
Turned right on.
All I had to do was put him on a ladder, and the attic fan said, oh, okay, I'll work.
I say, this is going to be good. This is going to be a good day.
See there?
Yeah. But I remember thinking, you know,
That was easy.
With a home, you know, it's always something. And I remember thinking, thank God, because there was a time in my life where, I don't know, I didn't want, I think it was just a reminder that I was alive.
Yeah.
You
okay.
know, if I'm.
Talk about what you were just going to say. There was a time when.
Well, there was a time when something, those things were just too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And
your
I just.
Your mind might have been somewhere else.
I just didn't want to do anything. You know, I didn't, you know, I felt like my body weighed 800 pounds and, yeah. you know, and it was a form of depression. And
I'm thinking you probably weren't wanting to be in that house.
Well, this was, yeah, I mean, that was part of it in a previous relationship. But that was, you know, it was also the period when I was by myself and stuff like that. And
yeah,
and going through that time. And I remember thinking, you know, if I have problems, well, I've heard it said in a way that I have problems today in areas that I used to never have areas.
Mm.
You know, so I have problems today in relationships and owning a home, and I used to not have relationships or a home,
right,
you know.
Right.
And And so it's being grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, thank God there's always something, because if there's not, then I'm done, I guess.
That keeps us busy. Keeps us, we like having projects, I think. I do.
And,
I think you do.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a lot more apt now to say, let's just hire someone.
Yeah, I know. Because, and I'm apt to say, I'll do it.
Yeah, I choose. You fixed a lot of things just by taking them apart and putting them back together again.
I have.
I'm like, that fan's done. Let's throw it away. And you're like, hang on. I want to sort of sit in the garage for a few days. And you'll take it apart and blow it out. And
I mean, the fan's nothing but the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was going to cost some money. Yeah. When I went online to see how much the parts were going to be, that's when I really got down to brass tacks. Yeah. I took that thing apart.
Let's see what's inside this thing.
And by God, it's everything that was wrong with it is now fixed, running perfectly.
Well, that one pump's still not
running. Oh, well, yeah, the foot pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know where it is, but it's just really hard to get to.
It is, and I remember I've had problems with it before, and it got it back running.
Well, I hit it with a hammer, and that didn't do anything, so.
Yeah.
Other than that,
I think you kind of have to open it up, take the wires off, put them back on.
I sprayed some WD-40 in there and hit it with a hammer. And
sometimes that works, it didn't start generally spinning, if you take off every connection and put it back together anyway.
Yeah. You know, my dad kind of taught me that when I was younger, that he always had this air compressor and the hose, you know, and he would take things apart and just blow them out.
I'll tell you what, your dad and I,
go to town on it.
We were soulmates from the beginning. He was like so happy to finally have someone in the family that understood him. And me too.
So
that was great.
I think part of making the decision to be happy is also, there's a lot of other decisions I think that probably have to go before that. If you're a victim, you know, or you think you've been a victim, you know, you have to make a decision that you're not going to be a victim anymore.
Sorry.
Was that good?
Taking a drink. It was good.
What is that? Is that the...
That's the cherry limeade.
Cherry limeade? Mm-hmm. Simply limeade?
Yes. All natural.
Yeah.
Too bad they're not supposed to give it to our granddaughter.
Too bad they're not a sponsor.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we don't know what brand it was.
Yeah. So anyway...
It's possibly...
With some grenadine in it.
Yeah. Gotta have the grenadine.
Yeah. With a straw.
Mm.
So you gotta make a choice that you're not gonna be a victim anymore. And I've always said that... Or like the saying that a victim is a spectator in their own life.
I like that.
To decide that, you know what, I'm not going to let this define me anymore, and I'm going to let it go. But you know,
pull up my bootstraps and
easier said than done, right?
I don't know. I mean,
or is it?
For me, easier to not be the victim.
Yeah,
but. I'm lucky that way.
Okay, well, this was something that I was thinking about. The easier to not be...
I know, I get really frustrated with people that are victims. So perhaps somewhere, you know, back in my childhood, there was a victim. I guess my mother might have been a victim. And it just made me so sick.
Well, when I think of victim...
That I chose the other way.
You know, I think of... A good person that something bad has happened to, and
well, the way I look at it is, we all have bad things happen, but how you deal with it, you're either going to revel in it and call everybody and ask them to feel sorry for you, and or you're just going to say, "Oh, that sucks."
Yeah. Well, I like the, you know,
what am I going to do to fix it?
Happen around me, not to me.
Yeah, that's a good.
Because
really,
you know,
good.
Everything happens to me is a very narcissistic view, and that the world is conspiring to keep me down.
Right.
And that was one of my revelations early on, was that even the people that loved me and cared the most about me and would do anything for me weren't going to do anything for me or couldn't. And it was at that point when I was, you know, as they say, the isolation had become complete, where I had to make a decision that I was going to do whatever it took to get better and be happy.
And lucky you are that you had someone that believed that you could figure it out.
Yeah.
That would be your mother.
Yeah. So, but what I was thinking with a lot of people that continue to be the victim is because, you know, we get a lot of mileage out of it, and we've identified with that victim role for so long. It's who we are, and it's defined us. And so without that victim label, we're not really sure who.
Well, I think one of the
we would be.
I would think that if you're wondering whether you're a victim or not a victim, look around.
Google it.
Do people answer your phone calls? Really? Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Are people making excuses not to talk?
Yeah.
Are people avoiding your call, not wanting to do things with you? Because it chases people away. It drains you when someone is just never willing to pull themselves out of the depression. It's really hard to be with someone like that.
Yeah, and I think we had talked about that in episode 1.
You can be loved,
one,
but
I think
people don't want to be a part of that.
Or was that episode 2? I don't know. But, you know, about being, yeah, about detaching with love and,
yeah,
you know. So, you know, I think before you can make a choice to be happy or to not be a victim or any of those, I guess, other choices that have to become before you can decide to, I don't know, to do something different, you have to be aware.
Right.
And I think that is where a lot of people, myself specifically, you know, it's a form of denial, I guess, mm-hmm. or be aware that I'm the one that's doing it to myself.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the best way to know if that's going on is, you know, you can really make a lot of observations about a person by the company they keep.
Yeah.
You know, are your friends upbeat, happy, you know, living life?
I feel happy.
Inspirational. Or are they miserable, wanting to talk about problems, egging you on, encouraging your victimization of yourself?
Well, and I think once you get, yeah, and once...
Because you can always find someone that is willing to be in that position with you, but that's your sign that they're also victims.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well.
Here's your sign. Well, I think once I'd gotten to that point where I'd made a decision that I was going to be happy, or I wasn't going to let my past define me, and I was going to carve my kind of new life and get back to who I was, or at least maybe not back to who I was, because I don't think I ever really knew who I was, but, you know, discover my authentic self and love myself and stuff like that. You know, I would wake up each day and be thankful and
make decisions you're proud of.
Yeah, you know, and but then there is times, and I even wrote a blog post about this quite a while back, about I still get kind of sometimes consumed by this overbearing feeling of dread. Like, we'll just be sitting there watching TV, or maybe it's, you know, melancholy or whatever you want to call it, but, and I just get kind of this feeling of, oh, what's the use? You know, this is, you know,
even
insignificant.
Since your father died, or always
every once
that
in a while.
Well?
I mean, every once in a while, you know, it's.
I think that's, well, I mean, my automatic normal response to you for that would be that you're grieving. And, you know, I know that when I was grieving my mother and my brothers, I would feel that sense of dread if I would just think about them, and then I'd realize, oh, it's true. And, you know, you can kind of avoid having to think about it, and then it's just always there.
I don't think it has to do with anything specific. Maybe it does. I know that I have tools now that I do when that happens. I'm a big believer in writing down.
Well, I can see how you could think.
A gratitude list, you know.
I could see how you would. I mean, there are things that we all can worry about legitimately.
Yeah.
You know, but is that worry, you know, propelling you to make a difference and, you know, and doing something different? Or are you just worrying about something over and over, not getting anywhere?
Yeah. And so when I, you know, I have to take actions, you know, I'm all about
exactly
practical actions. And so when I get that feeling, what I usually do is I'll pray. I usually find some quiet place and I'll get down on my knees and I'll pray. And for me, it's about humility and getting out of myself and then I'll, you know, write a gratitude list and make a list of things that I'm grateful for and you know, and know that this too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know, and it usually doesn't last
long. My mom
used to
say that a lot. I credit her. Interestingly enough, she may have been like the victim role in my life, but she's the one that was always giving me the good advice. I remember her saying, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And she even had that on the wall in the kitchen over the sink.
What did I say the other day?
Bloom where you are planted. That was another one. Mm-hmm.
Life gave me lemonade and I made lemons. I was like, wait a minute, that didn't sound right.
There's something missing in it.
Yeah. Maybe I got that backwards, but you got to be aware. And I'm aware of that now. I think years ago when I would get those kind of feelings of dread and doom and gloom or whatever, it was kind of like, you know, well, I'm damaged or I don't deserve to be happy. And so I deserve to feel this way for some reason. Or, you know, now I've experienced the other extreme, you know, and I think it's also balanced too. You know, it's like, I don't have these really huge highs and lows, but I do have a underlying excitement about life today, that good things are happening.
Yeah.
And more of an abundant kind of outlook as opposed to scarcity.
Good.
You know,
I'm glad to hear that.
If happiness is a choice, then thus yin and yang or whatever, choosing to be unhappy would also be a choice. And kind of along those lines, you know, a friend of ours, Duncan, who had originally, I think, had said it, and or at least that I heard, was the whole concept of, at some point, you know, we're choosing to be in misery and as opposed to choosing to be happy. And I think that comes down to, you know, if you're mourning or you're going through something, you know, give yourself a time limit.
Well, you got to go through it. It'll always wait for you. So you might as well dig in and let it happen.
Yeah. Let it take.
But I like the idea of giving it a time limit.
Yeah. That's hard to do though. Sometimes when people are grieving a loss of someone, and, you know, we'll give it 3 months.
Well,
you should be over this by now.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But we can get in that and stay in that.
I think mourning the loss or the death of a family member, a close friend or spouse or child, you know, that's takes a lifetime to get around.
Yeah. What is the saying? You'll get through it, but you'll never get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much true.
Well, I certainly choose to be happy right this moment.
It's like
because I was in a kind of
there was a bit of a
funk.
Lull. Do you feel that lull? It's almost like for every person that I lose that I'm devastated, there's a peace, there's a longer strand of peace within me. That's the best way I can describe it. You know, where I once was more animated highs and lows, like you say, now I find myself, you know, not anticipating the next death, but recognizing that it's not going to stop because I want it to, you know, I'll continue to lose people. And, you know, I like what your friend Robin had to say, that death can be a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
You know, and it can be. I understand that very well now.
You know, I feel like we've talked about death a lot.
Yeah, let's not go there.
So I was like, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Well, I know, but we're talking about happiness.
Well, and choosing.
The number one reason people are unhappy, I guess, you know.
Well, what about your job?
You could be jobless. You could be penniless, divorcing. Yeah, there are other things.
So do I wake up, you know, in the middle of the worst part of my life ever and just say, you know what, I choose to be happy today? I mean, is it that simple?
For me, but I haven't found myself in those situations.
Yeah.
Jobless, penniless. So
I think it, like I had said, homeless. It kind of comes from a whole different, you know, for me, I can do that because I don't feel like I'm lacking anything internally. It's like, so if I don't want to go, I don't know, do something.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe I can choose to either, I can be aware, first of all, that, okay, I'm getting some resentment build up because I have to go do this for somebody.
Well, or then I have say to go, no. I think if, well, that's, and something that's, that I told a client,
that's
I
a
had
good point.
I had an example the other day of how I avoid those situations that I will resent. You know, I'm in charge of my time. If someone's calling and wanting to come in later than I'm willing to wait, for example, it was my day off yesterday, and I did go in for a couple of customers, and I had another guy that called, and he wanted a 4:00. Well, I knew that I was going to be waiting an hour and 20 minutes for that appointment, but I was willing to do it. I took it. And then he called later and wanted to make it 4:30. And I said, no, I don't have that available. Let's do it, you know, the next day. And he didn't want to wait because he really needed a haircut.
Right.
So he did end up coming for that 4 o'clock. And I was thinking about that in between the time that, you know, while I was waiting and how I was going to handle that, you know, if I was going to tell him that, you know, and I did end up telling him, you know, this is my day off and I was willing to wait for you to come at four, but I wasn't willing to wait, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. And he says, oh, wow, you didn't have to do that at all. And I go, well, just know that I wouldn't do it if, you know, I've learned not to say yes to things that I'm going to end up resenting later.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm lucky in my job that I can do that because I am my own boss. So.
Well, and I had a therapist or psychiatrist. I'm not sure which one it was.
But one of those people.
Yeah, had told me that a good indication is if I tell someone I'm going to do something or I offer to do something and I feel like I can feel that I'm going to have a resentment because of it, that I'm doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it for something in return.
There's you have to be willing to say no.
There's a payoff somewhere that I'm looking
to get. And
be
okay with that.
And if I don't get it, I'm going to
Like if you don't do that for somebody, they're not going to like you as a friend. And I say, well, then they must not want to be my friend.
Because
it depends on me, you know, picking up everything they belong and moving it to another location.
Well, yeah, because there was a while there when I first was going, you know, through this and trying to get out and be helpful to other people and volunteer. And I was like, it seemed like I was helping people move like every weekend.
All the time.
And my friend was finally like, okay, you're not allowed to help anyone else move, you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Say no.
He was taking your inventory.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. Don't say no and then walk away.
It's
don't,
pretty amazing when you allow yourself. It's really hard to do the first time, but you know, hey, I'm worth it, you know?
Well, it started...
And you don't have to say it in a mean way.
Right.
Just, no, I don't want to do that. Period.
Well, and it worked. It started to work because I didn't need these people to like me. I wasn't getting all of my self-worth from doing things so that these people would like me. I knew who I was. I loved myself. I knew I was a good person. I was living, you know, to my highest ideals. Or what have you. And so I could say no and know that.
And still feel okay.
I was going to be okay. Yeah. Oh, and they're not going to hate me and think I'm
well, in the beginning,
person.
You know, you kind of wonder, but people will be treated the way they allow themselves to be treated.
Yeah. And I'm not responsible for the story that they tell themselves in their head.
Mm-hmm.
When I say no.
Exactly.
As he said, say no and turn around and walk away because you'll talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Or you'll try to come up with some excuse. Like, I remember this girl one time, I was sitting out, you know, outside and we were all kind of hanging out with some friends and I was playing my guitar and singing and stuff. And this girl came by and she said, wow, you're really good. You know, and I said, well, you know, I haven't played for a while and I kind of messed up this one part I forgot the words. My voice isn't really all that great, blah, blah, blah. And she looked at me and she just said, just say thank you. You know, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm robbing, that.
her of the joy of giving me a compliment, and I'm turning around and making it all about me.
Yeah.
And it's not all about me. So
it started out about you. But
well, yeah. You know, the guy with the guitar.
I think she might have changed her mind.
There's something about the watch out for the guy with the guitar at the party. You know, he's always playing, and that was used to be me because I was... I don't know.
Sorry, I haven't heard this one.
Actually, it was a comedian that I was watching the other day or something. But, you know, anyway. So then, you know, now that I've gotten clear with who I am and okay with myself, I think it's easier for me to say, I'm going to make a choice today or in this moment and be happy.
Yeah.
I don't consciously wake up each day and say,
If I find that I'm not particularly happy, I'll do something that I enjoy. You know, if it's going and getting a Frappuccino at Starbucks
or a Java chip Frappuccino,
you know, check out the sale rack at Macy's or.
I just want to say you are a ninja because she will watch this swimming suit that's like $92 Absolutely. Or something, and then like a year and a half later, she'll be like, I got it for $5.50 or something.
Yeah. I'm telling you, today, I got a shirt for $1.05, and I was kind of in a playful competition with the girl ringing me up because she goes, I got one the other day that ended up $4.98. I said, I think I've already got you beat.
I think I got you beat.
Yeah. It was $2.98, and then by using my credit card, it was $1.05.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Right. Oh, I love that. Wow. I think she might have been happy for me too, though.
So.
Both good deals.
I think the key here is.
Yeah. Do something. You're in charge. So, you know, if you're bummed, go do something that makes you feel good. Be selfish today.
Yeah.
Be good to yourself. You're the only one that will be.
No one.
Take charge.
Knows you as well as you know yourself, hopefully.
I mean, it's one step at a time.
That was such a cliche that I just said. Mm. I'm not sure if that was pertinent, but I
think it says that on a plaque somewhere, but
yeah, I think my mom used to always have this thing hanging, this tapestry or something hanging in the kitchen, and said the wise man will be as happy as circumstances permits. But now that I say that, I'm not sure
that
has a good meaning behind it. Wise man.
Yeah, like he's in,
will be as happy.
His happiness is determined by the circumstances.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt or somebody that said it.
Maybe
somebody could call into our
He was kind of depressed, wasn't he? Kind of depressed.
With a question.
Yeah, we want a question.
Yeah, 775-234-8373 is our phone line. And we're going to try to start keeping these to around 30 minutes because I read somewhere that that's a good time, and usually 10 to 15 minutes per person, but you know, hey, who's counting, right? But so happiness is a choice, or it can be a choice. We've established that we don't, at least I don't think.
Be happy this weekend.
It's that simple. I had to get a lot of other crap out of the way first before I even had the clarity to realize I had a choice, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
So, and my book's coming along in the final actually worked on the interior design kind of part. So
that's exciting.
I'll be getting a proof copy
here. That ought to make you happy.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
Makes me happy.
That does make me happy.
I'm happy for you.
It's a lot of stress, though.
Yeah, it is stressful. I've
been working on it for years.
A lot goes into making a book. I had no idea.
Yeah. And the book title is Happiness for the Practical Mind, 7 Steps to Discovering and Loving Your Authentic Self. And in that, I go into awareness and self-searching and
it's
forgiveness
beautiful.
and
very well written.
All sorts of things.
I concur.
You concur.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of shameless promotion there, self-promotion.
Yeah.
It's better than shameful, right?
True.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. God bless you, and remember to be true, be loved, and be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, and 775-234. 8373. Leave your name, where you're from, and a question or a topic, and we'll use it on our show. And
look forward to hearing from you.
All righty.